and shoes.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett. FBI Director James Comey says the San Bernardino attacks represent a new phase in the battle against terrorism.
Homegrown violent extremists, the radicalizing in place in order to kill innocent people on behalf of a foreign terrorist organization, to claim a foreign terrorist organization and try to give it credit for acts of violence.
In a Senate hearing, Comey said the attacks involved two self-radicalized people who were inspired by international terrorist organizations. Comey says investigators are working hard to determine how long they had been plotting their homegrown attack. An education reform bill is headed to the White House after clearing the Senate. The bipartisan measure replaces the No Child Left Behind Act and is expected to be signed by President Obama. The measure reduces the federal government's role in overseeing public education and returns more authorities to states and local school districts. This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. GatorSecurity.com.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
USA Christian News. Extreme environmentalists at the ongoing Paris Climate Conference have called on the United Nations to revoke the credentials of skeptics who do not adhere to their climate change theories. Kathy Adams of Eagle Forum, who was in Paris covering the conference for the USA Radio Network, tells us it's an attempt by many who worship the creation and not the creator to intimidate skeptics.
They have so intimidated people into silence that if you do not agree with this agenda, you have the political intimidation. And this is why our own President Barack Obama can even say that if any congressman doubts man-made climate change or global warming, then he is unqualified to represent the people.
The talks going on now in Paris involve 190 nations, many of whom blame the U.S. as well as other industrialized nations for what they claim is global warming. For the USA Radio Network, this is John Clement.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler, Pro Rodeo, and Horseman headquarters with an expanded woman's department. Also an expanded boot department with Georgia, Justin, and Wolverine boots. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 650 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
And until we can figure out who is allowed into the country and coming in, and if we don't know who they are, then we need some sort of protection.
Trump himself is not backing down from his comments. He also dangled the idea of a third-party run for president on Twitter Tuesday. I'm Tammy Rose.
Heavy rain is bringing more flooding to parts of the Pacific Northwest today. The National Weather Service says a series of storms will dump more rain on the region, with snow developing at the higher elevations in the Cascades and Northern Rockies. Flood watches and warnings are in effect for many areas, along with high wind advisories. Major League Baseball is issuing new safety net guidelines for teams. MLB recommends clubs have protective netting between the dugouts for any field-level seats within 70 feet of home plate. Baseball is looking to increase safety at stadiums around the league after a series of fan injuries last season from foul balls and broken bats. We're on the web at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
The following is a paid program.
The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
See, very good. So Pastor Tom was just listening to the disclaimer for the first time, I think, ever, of all these years we've been on a show.
Well, I've been wondering what a suitability requirement is.
FINRA, which is the regulatory agency that regulates securities, reps, dealers, broker-dealers, and all the rest of them, they say you have to say all this stuff before you get started. Now, if you ever see an ad in the newspaper, and it looks like they're selling stocks, bonds, mutual funds, or something, just quickly go all the way to the bottom of it. If they don't have this disclaimer.
In the fine print.
Mm-hmm. And the name of the broker-dealer, the odds are extremely good that that is not a securities representative. It's somebody that is not federally licensed as a securities rep. Mm-hmm. Isn't that not true, Vin?
That's true.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, how many people really know that?
Well, if you haven't been in the industry and you're unawares, you wouldn't know.
No. Right. And it's just like when people see something on the internet, they know it's all true, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's on the internet. It must be true.
So is that suitability requirement, something required by the
regulatory
exchange?
Yeah. No, by FINRA, which is, Financial Industries Regulatory Agency. They changed it. We all knew what it was before, so they changed it.
Right, of course.
So now we don't remember what the name stands for, the acronym, right?
That's right.
Financial Industries.
It's all meant to confuse you, Joe.
Anyway, it's a regulatory agency, and what they do is they check everything guys like me do. Like when we do our shows, this has to go to my compliance people.
That's why we make copies.
And we make copies, and we send it to them. And if they don't like what I say, they say, we're sending it to FINRA. And if FINRA, they're going to cost you $150 for each 10 minutes for them to listen to it. And then
$150 for each 10 minutes?
Each 10 minutes. Then what they might do if they don't like it.
$800 an hour or something?
Yeah. If they don't like it, they say, well, we'll fine you or shoot you or worse.
$900 an hour.
You know what I'm trying to say.
So it's bad enough that they're looking at you, but you have to pay them to look at
you. Yeah, they're not going to pay them to look at me. Yeah.
Wow.
So what that thing that starts at the beginning of the program that says suitability and all kinds of other words,
means that you've got to meet the requirements.
I've got it. Well, what I'm supposed to say, first of all, this is like that thing on the internet where the guy's standing out with the girl on a sidewalk and she said she's got a date from this French model that she met on the internet.
And the guy, bonjour.
And the bonjour. Guy comes, bonjour.
I remember that commercial.
Remember that was pretty funny. It really is
funny.
But it's called, the point is that literally what happens is if there's millions and millions of people out there selling something, have you ever noticed that there's a few crooks out there in the world?
Never. Ran across one just the other day.
He was telling me about his used appliances and a scam. You know that scam where they send you a certified check in the mail and then they say, hey, cash it and then pay it, then we'll come by and do whatever. Well, he got one of those, and but it's a scam. Point is that it does happen.
They send you a counterfeit certified check and you put it in the bank and it'll clear. And then they come by and pick up your items. This was one of those things online. They come by and pick up your items and they're gone. And then the bank calls you up and says, hey,
the check you put in didn't clear.
It was a counterfeit. And then your stuff is gone. But this particular website had warned me about it. And sure enough, I got one. So I sent them back and said, why don't you pay me at PayPal?
Yeah.
And as soon as it hits PayPal, I'll send you the address. You can come by and pick it up. Well, that's been 2 days.
Never heard from him.
So I didn't get taken advantage of because they had given me the heads up.
But. Well, the famous one was the one from Africa where you get some Nigeria or something.
I get those about twice a week that they, they want to give us $5 million, but all we got to do is agree to, you know, handle the transfer and send them.
Yeah, you got to send them $150.
They want my Social Security number, my credit card numbers.
Yeah.
And send me $500 to cover this, that, and the other.
Does anybody fall for that, though?
Yeah. Apparently people do.
Kim, the bartender waitress down at Manatee, her son got this thing that said they're going to send him $2,500, and I forget what the rest of it was. And all I said was, Kim, no. No, don't take any chance, because what they want is $100 or $200 back. And it'll deposit. It'll look perfectly legitimate that you can deposit it, because it's a check, and it may take a day or two or three before the bank comes back, or four, or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, you remember years ago the word float?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, float.
Yeah, those days are gone. Folks, what that means is, us old people, years ago I could send Vinny a check for, let's say, $100, and he'd get it today, and then he would deposit it in the bank tomorrow, but it may not clear my bank for a week. So that was called the float.
Yeah, and the banks took advantage of that.
No kidding. But, you know, you could, too, is if you could play your money mm-hmm. on float.
Right.
Well, see, legally, you can't issue a check if there's no cash in the account, but you could have cash in the account.
Well, that explains all my problems.
Yeah, there you go. But, you know, there's something else, Joe, you should talk about, maybe, is this whole term suitability, and what does that mean to the average investor?
When if you actually listen to the disclaimer, and if you listen to the end of the show, it'll play again. And suitability means this. When I meet a new prospect or suspect, we're supposed to talk and get to know each other. And I'm supposed to get to know you, and what is your goal? What are you trying to accomplish with your money? Now, if you say, hey, look at what I want to do, I'm a speculator and I want to take risk and all kinds of stuff. Okay, I've got to write that down, and you sign it and says you're a risk taker. Now, if you say, hey, I am ultra conservative, I want no risk, I say, well, you got to go to the bank. You know, you go to the bank and they're going to pay you a half or a quarter or one, and that's what you're going to do. Well, I want to get more than that. And I'll say, okay, fine. So we'll move down the list a little bit. That means you've got to be educated a little bit into what you might want to invest in. Now, there's tons of what I consider very solid investments, but understand this. If it's not the bank, you don't have FDIC. And the FDIC says we'll protect you if you're in a bank up to $250,000, I guess is what it is now, in case the bank fails. So now you go into work on any kind of stock or bond or mutual fund, or I don't care what it is, all of them are going to say that they're subject to the market. Subject to the market. Now, there are what I consider some extremely conservative investments, extremely conservative. Some are insured. Some are municipal bonds that maybe they're building a school. Some are roads.
Or a railroad.
Yeah.
Oh, they're anticipation, revenue anticipation notes.
Let's go to the railroad right now. Now, personally, if I don't know if you've read this, but I've been trying to find who in the world in their right mind would put a dime into All Aboard Florida bonds. Here's the biggest problem they have, getting an underwriter.
Yeah, well...
Because the underwriter, the company that issues the bonds, they have to guarantee the issue. So it's usually a big house like Merrill or somebody bigger, Goldman Sachs, one of the great big ones. They'll say, okay, fine, it's $1 billion. We'll guarantee all $1 billion of that it'll get issued, that somebody's going to buy that useless paper. Now, you're saying it's not useless, and it's going to be, according to the government, a tax-free bond, which means they've looked at it and said that it qualifies. But then the only thing that becomes a bit of a problem is there's not a profitable railroad, passenger railroad, in America. So now this is going to be the first one. And then the second part of it being the first one, it's now got to have 32 loaded trains a day.
Yeah, I'm sure that they have to be somewhat full in order to turn a profit.
Because it's going to charge $150 or something to go... from Miami.
I heard it's on the freight that they got to make the money, Joe, not on passenger.
Well, freight makes money, no doubt about it. But the passenger train thing is a whole separate issue. So they're going to run freight no matter what. You know, the railroads date back so far that they have special dispensation to do whatever.
But aren't they building new rail?
Well, very little new rail. They have to do some the sidearms. Whatever you the side
spurs,
what they can
spurs
that them. Come off of it, but they've got X number of those already.
And I'm wondering whether that just means opens up more line for freight. Is what I'm saying. They could probably use those not only for passenger, but use it for freight as well.
Well, but see, the freight, if you look at right now, there's like 24 trains a day at peak with freight. And there's 24 hours in a day. That means an hour, one train an hour. And a lot of them run pretty much at night, you know, so that they're not interrupting traffic.
Don't they have security issues during the day, Joe? Because a lot of these land crossings, they're level, ground level crossings.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Yeah, well, my concern is I live down in Hope Sound, and just recently we had a child that wandered onto the tracks and got hit. So now they're going to start bringing high-speed passenger and high-speed freight through residential areas.
Well, have you ever, I mean, listen, I live next to the tracks, and I used to run up and down the tracks when I lived on Indian River Drive with my dogs. You can have a train 100 feet away from you before you hear it. Mm-hmm. If the wind is coming from south to north and the train is coming from north to south, the wind is not in the favor of hearing it. And he's going, say, 50, 60 miles an hour, speed of sound, all the rest of it. I mean, literally, he can be almost on top of you before you hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all kinds of problems. I am just hoping, please, 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 please. And I actually pray on this one. Lord, you know, don't let these people get funded, because it's just, in my opinion, a mess. Now, very self-serving. You live on the right side of the tracks with your boat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the wrong side of the tracks with my boat.
Yes, and I mean, most people don't realize that those bridges that the trains are going to go over, they're almost 100 years old.
And each train that comes through is down 20 minutes longer than the train is on top of it,
mm-hmm.
as an average.
Right.
That's if they don't break and they don't have a problem. So if you add 32 trains a day times 20 minutes, that's 6 hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
Plus the freight trains.
Well, that's an inconvenience factor, and I understand that, but I mean, I'm concerned about the safety issues involved.
I understand, but more than inconvenience, there's real money involved. There's actually traffic, commercial traffic, that uses the rivers and these channels.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Fort Lauderdale with the new river, how far up that goes past the tracks. I mean, there's all kinds of real, real impacts. Besides, the safety factor when you got trains going 100 miles an hour is a problem. Look, people get killed on trains all the time down on the tri-rail that are walking across the tracks to go home because it's a shortcut.
Yeah, but also you have ambulances trying to cross the tracks to get to the hospitals, you know, first responders trying to get to emergency situations.
I'm just hoping that this last-ditch effort, meaning they can't get funded because... Who in their right mind? I can't imagine an underwriter is going to do it to start with, let alone. Usually they have to have all of their broker-dealers set in line to retail these things before they even get started.
Now, who would be a suitable investor for that?
Somebody that's not too bright.
Somebody doesn't care if they lose their money.
But, and, you know, if it's a government-insured bond or something like that, the bottom line is the taxpayer ends up on the hook. But
it doesn't matter, they're not even on the hook because they just added to the debt.
Well, that's, but you still, know. No, the taxpayer, CPA's got to pay it all. You know that.
Of course, you got to give it to us. The bottom line is nobody's paying it, Joe.
Yeah, yeah. But it's
a debt of the next generation.
It's not a pure scam, but I just can't see how anybody can look somebody in the eye and say, this is a good thing to do. And, you know, mass transit is monster in Europe. Mass transit works real good from New York City because it costs you $50 a day to park your car in a city. You know, all of a sudden there has to be an economic reason. But to go to Orlando for $150.
But it is $20 to park your car at Disney World now.
Yeah, but you're going to have to park or get a rental car or a cab from the train station
that is
to
true.
Disney.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that $20 is gone no matter what you do. So it's. Yeah, that's right. You have little kids, so you're a Disney person.
Yeah. Oh, I just hear cha-ching.
Well, all I know, you weren't here last week, but he brought in his wife, who was a scoutmaster.
Nice.
And his daughter and a girlfriend of hers, and we had them both on the radio. They were out decorating trees, you know, the scouts doing good things for people. And the girls are very sweet. But you know how little girls are like 10, 9 years old? They don't talk very loud. I had them talking real loud before they left.
Hey, I was a Cub Master once.
Really?
Yeah. My son was going through Scouts, and
I was a Cub Scout,
And he was a Cub Scout. And I was a Cub Master. It was fun. It was a lot of fun with the kids.
I was,
except he never wanted to be a Boy Scout. Once he got to that level, he said, "That's it. I want to do it."
When I could, I think I was a Cub Scout for less than a year because I was old enough to walk and carry milk cases, And the old man says, you're working on the truck.
But, you know, getting back to this rail thing, I mean, they could do alternatives, you know. If they want to do transportation, they could do monorails, and they could do that. Maybe build them above so that you don't have the interference with
cost
the crossing.
Go up. You know that.
Yes.
Point is, now we've got to have X number of amount of traffic to afford it. Back again. The only place that, I shouldn't say the only place, but the biggest single place is New York City, or the corridor from Washington, D.C. to New York City. You know, Long Island traffic, or the traffic from the city to Connecticut, these are the most used trains in America.
That's why they... Yeah, but here in Florida...
But that's economically sense. I mean, if you're working in the city in an office, own a car and drive back and forth means you're rich. I mean, rich. Because $50 a day for parking, if you can get a spot.
But just think of all those people up north, you know, Vero Beach and points north who needed to go to commute to West Palm or Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it would be a benefit to those folks.
Well, think about this. They can drive a car quicker and they have no problem parking. Yeah, Once you get off the train, how are you going to get to where you want to go to work?
Yeah, we have
take a cab.
You'd have to take a cab or some sort of a bus for
But we have the turnpike. And, you know, you can take the turnpike 70 miles an hour with a bus.
Right.
And you can get there with a quarter of the price. I don't understand what the benefit is.
There's no logic. There's no logic whatsoever to it. And the bus goes the same route. So what they're saying with the high-speed train is going to have limited stops. Well, the bus can have limited stops because they have charter buses literally that go right from the cruise ships straight to Disney, no stop. Pick them up, take them, rock, bring them back. Anyway, so much for All Aboard Florida and the dissertation here that had nothing to do with the disclaimer at the beginning of the show. Tom, how
was like a major diversion.
No, I was just sitting here thinking that All Aboard doesn't meet the suitability requirements according to Joe.
According to Joe, and boy, that, and let me just say, my opinion, because my compliance people get upset if I make it sound like it's not my opinion. I got to say, in my opinion, I think All Aboard Florida is ridiculous. Now, that's very subtle. Team Martech started on the radio shows, give or take, well, actually before 2004. We don't know exactly, but the concept was pretty simple. Joe Martech's a financial advisor. I'm called a stockbroker, a securities principal. It means lots of licenses, lots of regulators. I'm state licensed with 4 licenses, and I'm federally licensed, and I think I had a 6, 7, 24, and there might be another one. You have to keep taking your continuing education. It doesn't make any difference if I know what the numbers are because I got to keep taking them. But if you're going to be a credible financial professional, you are never going to know everything. You can't even know all the investments. There's only like 30,000 different places people can invest money. You know, there's more mutual funds than there are stocks. There's more mutual fund companies than there are stocks.
Wow, that's an interesting
It's just statistic. A piece of, you know, trivia that's useless. But the object is this. When I have a client says to me, hey, Joe, I need some help with my taxes. I say, whoop, wrong guy. Well, who should I go see? Beats me. Wrong answer. You're supposed to be able to help your clients and no other credible professional. So over a period of time, Vince Rosino, CPA. Vince is also a forensic CPA, which means he's been accredited by the court system to be an expert witness, and he can testify. He used to teach university level.
But not Columbia.
But not at Columbia, because this is a joke internally, folks. Don't feel special. And then, next question is, what happens, and mortgages have been a monster question.
Yeah, I mean, mortgages and Social Security.
Oh, man, have we gone into these subjects? But mortgages, that has changed from unbelievably loose to unbelievably tight to reasonably.
Yeah, it's starting to get better. Actually, we've signed up some new lenders, and it's the start of the new subprime.
The new bubble.
It's
well,
no,
not necessarily.
You know, I'm always. You know, they took a good idea and they really ran away with it. You know, back in 2004, 2005, I mean, they were doing no income verification loans with 95% financing with people with, you know, 550 credit scores. You just can't do that. But, you know, there has to be a happy medium in the middle. And at least we're getting some lenders now that are dipping their toes into that water. And, you know, they're doing them. They're being conservative about it. But they're being a little bit more creative.
Does the conservatism go to 20% down payment?
Well, usually with these subprime lenders, it requires a minimum of 20% down, but with some situations, it could require 40% down.
Okay. Well, if that's happening, then I think that's not a beginning of a bubble.
Well, right. No, but see, that was what it used to be before quote, the bubble. Yeah. That if you, in fact, what Fannie Mae's 675 limit?
For credit scores?
No, for a mortgage amount.
No, it's 417.
Here, but at certain markets, it's 6.
It's a little bit more.
Yeah. So what happens?
Not too many places in Florida, but in the Keys, yeah.
Yeah. Say you buy a $2 million house, you don't qualify for a quote as government mortgage. You now have to go get a conventional mortgage, which is not going to have the government insurance behind it, and they're all going to want usually 20% down or more.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, you know, we have jumbo loans now that require, 10% down. I have a couple programs that do jumbo loans at 10% down with no mortgage insurance requirement. And for all those folks who don't know what mortgage insurance is, most lenders, if not all lenders, require you to put 20% down. If you don't put 20% down, you have to carry a private mortgage insurance that insures the bank, not insures the borrower. And we have some lenders now that, because it's very difficult to insure those types of loans, they're coming out with self-insured 90% jumbo loans.
There you go. There you go. Well, what happens is, Vince, and this takes me back to 1976. That's when I first moved to Florida, and I worked for Chase Manhattan Bank. I was in the real estate division, and you don't remember this, except you might from up north. There was a 74-75 recession.
Yes, I do remember.
Remember that, and that was a devastating one. It was gas lines, remember?
Yeah, gas lines in 73.
Well, back then, the banks would loan money to build an entire community, and not one unit got sold, but they would build the whole thing. So it wasn't just Chase, it was every major bank in America loaned billions of dollars into Florida, and now they own these properties because the lender, the borrowers, we can forget them paying, they'd walk away from it and the banks would own it. And I'll never forget it. I was talking to one of the hot shots for Continental of Illinois, which is, by the way, gone, but it was a big bank. And they had this high-rise condo on the Gulf of Mexico, like 15 stories up there. No units are sold. So after I left Chase, we were hired to come in and work these things out with banks. And I says, boy, it'll never happen again. You banks make all these mistakes. And he said, don't count on it. He said, all of the guys that made these bad loans have either been promoted or fired. Isn't that an interesting concept?
Promoted or fired.
They had to point the finger at somebody, yeah. And those who pointed
got scapegoats. Yeah, well, the ones that got fired were scapegoats, and the rest
and
of them got
promoted. And then what happened is the bank would come back to the loan officers, and I actually saw this. There's a class action or a suit going on, I think, with Wells Fargo, that the people that have the money, the bankers, the company itself, come up to the loan officers and say, okay, guys, we need to get more money out on the street because we got too much money.
Yep.
And we need to make loans. And the criteria for the loans gets a little bit looser each time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's when they have too much money. When they have too little money, they make it extremely tough to come in. And you might remember the days, Mike, where a developer would come in and actually buy millions of dollars worth of end loans to the bank and had to pay him a fee up front, $50,000 to $100,000.
You would do a forward, yeah.
Yeah, it was just but the rules change constantly.
And, the Fed these days is also competing with borrowers because they were letting the banks lend their excess reserves back to the Fed.
Yeah.
And getting a premium on that.
Back in 2004 and 5, I've been doing this for 26 years. And in 2004, my account rep for Washington Mutual would come into the office and they would come out with some amazing products.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable products where 5% down with no income verification and there were negative amortization arms. And, they wanted like a 550 credit score. And I was like scratching my head saying, why do you want this? This is a bad loan in the making. And we all saw it coming.
Yeah.
That's what Wall Street wanted.
Well, point is, they had too much money.
Yeah, well, they were packaging them up and reselling them. Well, it was a security. It became a security.
It was a security, sure. You and I, Vince, start a company. We say, hey, guess what? We can go to Mike, and Mike can make 200 loans a week, and we can sell them to the Arabs as secure investments because they're American real estate. And I'm paraphrasing and walking all the way around here, making it sound goofy, but literally that's what happened. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't necessarily who they sold them to. All over the world bought them. China, Europe, everybody bought them.
Yeah. Yeah. But what really upset me during that time period, people like Jamie Dimon would come out and do these interviews on CNBC's. And
tell them who Jamie Dimon is.
Well, he's the CEO of Chase.
JP Morgan Chase.
Yeah. So anyway, he would come out and blame it all on the mortgage brokers. But because,
You're the first line. You're bringing these loans in.
Yeah, exactly. But, every week their account reps would come in and say, this is what we want this week, and this is what you have to produce. And
yeah. It's a pendulum, folks. And what happens in life, and we are all we're the grains of sand in the scope of the world. You know, it kind of reminds me about this little boy that's walking along the beach. And there's thousands and thousands of starfish that have all washed in, and they're all going to die. And he's going out, picking them up one at a time, throwing them back in. And a lady comes up to him and says, son, you're really not going to do anything because there's thousands of them are going to die. And he says, yeah, but not that one. Point is, here's this mortgage broker or mortgage company. I owned a mortgage company back in 82. And like you said, they either have too much money or not enough. And when they're walking in the door, patting you on the back, taking you to lunch, that means they want you to use them, mm-hmm. and they're going to try to make it easier for you to make a living. And guess what happens? It's not, hey, that's your job. That's your job. So your job is to know what you can give people to get them the best deal possible to buy their house.
Yeah, but they were coming out with products that were not for the average person, the average homeowner. They were coming out with these negative amortization arms where, you weren't even making your interest payments.
Right.
So right from the start, they're setting you on the wrong path. They're setting you up to owe more than what you actually borrowed. And I just saw the handwriting on the wall, and I said, that is not a good product for your average person.
Nope. But
For a sophisticated investor,
maybe
for suitability investor,
right?
Then that's a perfect program, but not for the average homeowner who needs to pay that loan off.
Suitability is a word that is used by a lot of different people, a lot of different industries, but there may not be a regulatory agency to watch over it. You remember this too, the SNL crisis. There were 120% loans.
Mm-hmm.
Mike and I walk in the door and say, hey, we're going to buy this piece of property and we're going to build these condos. They're going to cost $5 million. Bank says, okay, fine, we'll give you $6 million. So right away, we'd walk away with a $1 million fee off the top.
Mm-hmm.
And
then they would lend that money out at a fixed rate, and their deposits were all based on an adjustable
flow. It was very, very, what happens is, and I've said it again, even though things are, let's put it today, on a pretty even keel from a borrowing standpoint, there's still VA mortgages, there's FHA mortgages, you still have the USDA mortgage with no money down if people qualify.
There's a lot of great programs.
There's a lot of good money out there.
There's good programs.
And like I said, there's new programs hitting the market every day now. And, for a self-employed borrower, and Vince, you can attest to this, a lot of accountants find ways to reduce your tax burden.
That's
your job, yeah.
But therefore, by reducing your income. Well, that's bad when you're applying for a mortgage. But there's other ways to analyze people's incomes. Like, for example, we now have a loan program where we could take 24 months of your bank statements. We could look at what your average deposit is each month, and we can average that out and come up with your income that way. So there's a lot of different ways to analyze people's income.
I have, obviously, a lot of clients that are retired. And I've got a client right now that's paying $6,000 a month to be in a retirement home. Well, guess what they have? They've got Social Security, small pension, they've got a income annuity, and then they've got investments. Well, we got to total all that up to enough money where they can afford to live there. If they had all that money sitting in the bank, they'd be living with their kids. literally, because the 1% they'd make at the bank, or one half or whatever it might be, wouldn't cut it. So literally, suitability, again, you've got to look at the goal of a person, what we want to accomplish. Then they have to understand their risk. How much risk is there in certain types of investments? And let's face it, some are higher risk than others.
And suitability usually doesn't come into play, Joe, unless there's a problem.
Well,
that's when they come back at you.
Well, the truth is, if everything works, there's no such thing as a suitability problem. But on the other hand, compliance people, every broker dealer has them, paperwork has to go in. Some certain investments are scrutinized upside one down the other because FINRA and the SEC have said, okay, fine. Some need more scrutiny, some types of investments. You've heard of pink sheets or types of investments that are not traded.
Yeah. Well, penny stocks.
Penny stocks. Mm-hmm. They're not easily traded. Well, that's not for everybody. And a person that gets those has to understand they're in a high-risk thing. And I've got clients that definitely want that. They'll say, Joe, I've got $100,000, but I want to put $10,000 into something that could be a home run. Or I
want to gamble.
Or I could. It's a gamble.
Yeah, exactly.
I could lose all my money. And, you know, years ago.
It's the same as going to a track, right?
Well, it's not exactly the same.
But similar.
But it is a gamble. Well, but here's what happened. Let me take you back a few years. When the recession hit, the government came in and bailed out automobile companies, among other things.
GM in particular.
Well, GM, everybody but
AIG.
Everybody but Ford.
Everybody but Ford, right. And look how they're doing today.
Well, what happened was Ford's stock got down to $1.80 a share. So, I mean, literally, we were talking about it. Dan got some. I got some. We had a bunch of clients that bought it at $1.80. And if you looked at the rating, it was no good. I mean, this was high risk. And I looked at my clients and said, look, it may say it's high risk, and I understand that because the government's coming in and bailing them out, and they're not taking it. They're willing to take the risk without them. I don't think Ford's going to go, my opinion. So guess what? Ford shares only got up to $16 from $1.80 within a short time. That means your $100,000 was now $900,000.
Mm-hmm. That wasn't so shabby.
That's not so shabby. Well, it's risk reward, right?
Right.
So today, in fact, I talk about oil all the time. Oil's bam.
$38 a barrel now.
$37, $38. Rock bottom. Oof, rock bottom.
Good time to buy oil.
I had a client this week, $300,000 put into oil. I mean, the bottom line is it's called. Is it going to stay down forever? You can't sell it for less money than it costs to produce it.
No, but you have to have staying power to stay in that investment for quite a while.
You got to have staying power. That's it. So you don't walk into this thinking a month or now or 6 months from now. And it might turn with, if history says, five times we've had this turn, up and down, up and down. Normally it's been a two-year swing. Well, we're done with 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're into the second year. You can't use history as a definitive answer, but I don't think a person alive believes that the price of oil is going to stay low and the price of gasoline is going to stay at $2 a gallon when it used to be $3.54.
Mm-hmm.
Companies make money. So literally today the price of oil is down under $40 a barrel, and it was up as high as 110 just a year and a half ago. When it was 110, none of us were happy when we filled up at the gas tank.
No, I was real happy in Georgia. I got gas Thanksgiving week. $1.75.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. I haven't seen it that low.
The lowest I've seen in Fort Pierce today was $1.94.
Yeah, that's it. I bought it up there the other day. I was up that way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's in Florida. Like you said, Georgia.
It's cheaper in Georgia. They don't have we have a tax here in Florida that's added to our gas because we don't pay a state tax.
Yeah.
Well, up there, they pay state tax, so it's not on their gas.
But hey, that works perfect.
Most places it was $1.90 something, but. Middle Georgia, $1.75.
Yeah, I know that, you know, that was always the goal. Fill up and make it to Georgia before you had to fill up again, right?
My only concern with oil, Joe, is that there seems to be a lot of production now where that was never the case before.
Yeah, but what they're showing
a lot of production in the U.S. too now.
Yeah.
Point is, though, today, on a worldwide basis, there's been over 500,000 people laid off in the oil industry.
Mm-hmm.
So this reporting system is always a little bit vague. All of the oil that they're pumping, well, no new wells are being sunk, or very, very few. Some of the wells run out. So the point becomes, this has happened before. Mm-hmm. The same roller coaster. If you go to North Dakota, where everybody was employed before, ain't that way now.
Yeah, but now you have Iran starting to produce oil.
Not yet. They said it'd take at least a year for Iran to get back up and running. And they're not even approved yet under the program with the government. It's not even approved.
And don't forget the elephant in the room is China. China's economy is not doing very well.
No.
So they're at a low point too. Once they start this to percolate, and Western Europe starts to percolate, the demand will go up. So it's a combination. There's always that equilibrium thing going on with this.
When you really study it, there's just no way to come up with a definitive answer, because there's always going to be this side and that side. There's two different stories all the time. All I'm saying is, from a history standpoint,
mm-hmm.
it may take a year or three. We don't know. But history says you can't figure a company's going to lose money on purpose forever.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make a product, a widget. If you and I own a company and we want to make this widget and sell it for at a loss, you know, how long are we going to dip into that well before we run out of money?
I just can't imagine countries being able to
produce oil for $37 a gallon.
They can't.
For very long.
Well, they're losing money today. Most countries.
Except for the Saudis, I think, have a lower.
The Saudis are the one. But see, the Saudis have another thing.
They've got a lot of cash.
They have billions and billions, maybe trillions of dollars stashed away. All the OPEC members are mad at the Saudis. You know, since when have Arabs been mad at each other? Have you ever heard of that?
Never. They're usually pretty good with each other.
Oh, yeah, they all love each other, right?
One, the new subject, folks, we're not talking about that. 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. So the concept of the group, very simply, was to put together local professionals that have years of experience, that are not new in business, that are, in my opinion, the top of their field, and they have integrity. Integrity is probably the biggest single word. When you look, Mike, at yourself and how many people come and go since you've been in the business, and some might have been really good people and some not. You know, but you know, point is, when a person's been in business 10 or 15 or 20 years, usually they've weathered all the storms and they're very, very, very cautious about doing anything that might put a blemish on them because, you know, you're known by your reputation.
Yeah. And plus, you know, we have regulators as well, and we have to make sure that we maintain a good reputation and there's no complaints filed against us.
So, and it works that way with everybody. Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, back again. In my humble opinion, he's if he's not the best, I don't know who is, but he's 37 years in business right here in Port St. Lucie. Just a tremendous guy, has done a great job for a lot of people. You know, I look at our job as to either make people money or save people money, and I think we've been able to do that very successfully with this group.
I have a success story for Dan. Just today, you know, I had a customer who was just about qualifying. The debt ratio was very, very close. So we found out today that the property was in a flood zone because we have to do our due diligence. Sure, sure. Then we have to find out if the property. So now the property needs flood insurance, and that borrower was not going to qualify. So I referred this customer to Dan. Dan got him a much lower quote. So the combination of homeowners insurance and flood insurance was less than what the customer had shopped for elsewhere. So he saved the day again.
Again.
Yes.
And I think the operative word is again. Yeah, because that's what Dan has. He's got 80-some companies, not all homeowners companies, but you know, he's done it to me, done it to you. I get a phone call.
I referred him a couple of clients in my homeowner association, and he did a great job for them, too.
Yeah.
You know, the key is that he's independent, and he has so many different companies to choose from that he always has a good insurer to offer.
That was the other word about our group, independence. None of us house together means we don't share office space. We don't share commissions or fees. We don't pay each other a dime back and forth. When we started doing the shows, what I wanted to do was to find what I considered the best people in their individual field. So when I referred Mike or Dan or Greg Fasula, in fact, Greg was on the radio today, and of course, up in Fort Pierce, we did the show. And you know, I pick on Greg unmercifully because one, he's an attorney. You know, and attorneys deserve to be picked on. It's just, you know.
But I hate when you make him cry, though.
I know, but it's hard to make Greg cry.
But the other side of the coin was, you know, I always pick on Greg about being a liberal, you know, which of course he swears he's not. He's a say. So you're going to vote for Ted Cruz, huh? He goes,
Well, I'm sure he'll put some kind of disclaimer.
He'll put some disclaimer in there.
But anyway, the other side of the coin was, I know when I first, 20-some years ago, when I'm out and I'm meeting this new prospect and I'm talking a will or a trust, they say, well, Joe, I live in Hope Sound. Who do you know? And I say, well, let me just check. And I'd find an attorney that's somewhat close to them geographically. And I'd ask different people. And I'd go with them. Almost always I'd go with my client to meet the attorney. And sometimes I'd get sick and want to throw up right there on the spot because, in my opinion, this attorney was gouging them, charging too much.
Right.
And at about that time, 20 years ago, give or take, I met Greg Fasula, and my golly, not only was he thorough, he was extremely fair, and he didn't put together these monster books that were leather-bound that cost people a fortune. He put together what I call the meat, skipped the vegetables and the salad and the potato, but it was exactly what people needed to have, and he was fair. And new thing, I've never seen this before in an attorney. He was a good listener. He wasn't arrogant, not pretentious. As I said to Greg, did you learn that in law school? And he goes, no. You know, point is, I've never heard a person to this date ever say a bad word about Greg. He's just a flat good guy. Only attorney I know I'd like to have is a next door neighbor. You know, he's just a good guy. Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart. I've known her since 1980. Here she's been in real estate since 1980, and she's only 30 years old.
Yeah,
what a miracle. I don't know of anybody alive that knows more
she's
about...
She's negative 5 years old.
Yeah, negative 5 years old. That knows more about residential...
she was doing real estate in the womb.
Talk about negative. Talk about negative amortization.
Yeah, you won't find a harder working realtor anywhere.
Period. Anywhere. In fact, I don't know if there's a harder working person alive than in any business, because that girl only got two speeds. She's either full blast or sleeping.
Yeah, I'm exhausted just watching her.
Yeah, and that's it. But it's a nonstop thing. It was always kind of a joke that when Mike first met Victoria, because when you're in real estate, you want to make sure people are going to qualify. And if you're doing the right job, you try to get them pre-qualified so they know what they can afford. And Mike can do that for you quickly, even does it on the phone for people, and doesn't going to charge him a nickel to let them know where they stand. But one time he got a text at 3:00 in the morning, and his wife said, "Who's that?"
"Who's that?" "State Farm agent."
"It's State Farm." "And what's State Farm wearing? Let me see." "Khakis." "Uh-huh."
Yeah, but the difference
is... weren't paid to...
She does sound good, though.
And the thing with Vic, if she's awake, she's working. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not her fault. She wakes up in the middle of the night, first thing she does is check messages and starts thinking. I mean, that's just how she is. She's always been that way. And you ever notice, she doesn't have a slow bone in her body. She mm-hmm. does not move slowly anytime, any place.
No, it's all full speed ahead.
Yeah, that's just it.
And you know, like during the mortgage process, we have certain things that we have to do in a chronological order.
And they take time.
And you know, all the time when I'm working with one of Victoria's customers, she's texting me before I even get to the opportunity. Like when we have a set period of time before we order the appraisal, she knows when that period is, and she's texting me, "Did you order the appraisal?
Did you order it?" Right.
So she follows up and she follows through.
It was an interesting thing, but years ago, before all computers and everything, we had spreadsheets, mm-hmm. and we would mark down a client, and then there was 15 or 20 items, and we would put dates in them and do the same thing. We'd be calling the mortgage people, filling in these dates on a spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. They were great big pieces of paper. And that was back in the day when I was in real estate and she was in it, and we would have these spreadsheets watching as making it happen. But I swear she can do it in her head.
Yes. She has an instinct about her that she knows exactly when things have to be done, and she follows through.
1-8, this is, by the way, a talk show, and we're not the only ones that need to talk. If you've got questions about mortgages, about taxes, about Social Security, boy, have we covered a lot about Social Security.
Yep.
About the different rules.
And you know they change the rules.
Constantly.
Again.
Yeah, which part now?
Well, with the new budget bill that was passed like 3 weeks ago, they've eliminated a loophole in the Social Security strategy. There was a point when you reached your normal retirement age.
See, normal retirement age now is like 66.
It could be, yeah, for the baby boomers, it's pretty much 66.
Yeah.
And where there's a strategy where you could call what they call file and suspend. So when you got to be your normal retirement age, you'd file for Social Security, suspend it, and that would allow your spouse to come in and collect a spousal benefit if it was higher than their own benefits.
Right.
Meanwhile, yours continued to grow. So, because you had suspended your benefit.
Right.
So, you claimed it, but you suspended it, which opened the door for the spousal benefit. Well, guess what?
No more.
They closed the loophole so that for those that are turning 62 years of age in 2016, that strategy won't work for them.
No.
But doesn't mean that there aren't other strategies that you can use. But that.
But if you're 62 or older, you're locked in under the old system?
Yeah, if you were 62 in 2015, you're grandfathered in.
So, you've got a couple weeks left.
Yeah, to be born and turn 62.
Point is that the spousal benefit, what happens is, let's just take a scenario and say the spouse is 62, the wife, and the husband is 66, and he claims his Social Security today. She can get hers too, but she'd get a lesser benefit. But instead of claiming hers because she's 62, she can take a spousal benefit, which would be usually half of his.
It's half.
And then why would you do that? Well, if she goes for 3 or 4 more years, her personal Social Security might be much higher than that spousal benefit, and she can stop taking the spousal benefit and then get her own.
Exactly. So
what happens?
And the longer she waits, the higher it will go.
But doesn't it go up 8% a year or something?
8% a year. To if you retire at 66, that means it's an extra 32% in your benefit.
Which is quite 70, a bit of money.
That's quite a bit of money.
Well, the other side of the coin is, and we counsel people constantly, before you make this decision, you need to know the right questions to ask. And we've had numerous people we've talked to on the radio that have called in. And we said, you know, the Social Security people up, and especially up in Port St. Lucie, they have just do a wonderful job. I'm very impressed with as a government agency that you make an appointment, they show up, they're there on time, they've got the whole file ready because they know about you ahead of time, and they're nice people. But literally, once you make a decision, you don't have long to change your mind on that decision. Isn't there like only a 6-month look back?
Yes, 6 months if you're beyond the 66, yes. You could claim or reclaim up to 6 months benefit if you file late.
So what happens is, too, though, what if you claim a benefit too early and you want to get out and wait? You'd have to pay back all the money you got during that period.
Well, under the rules, Joe, you can retire early at 62, and you know that benefit is probably a discount of about 25 to 28% off of your normal retirement
age. Off your normal one, right.
And even at that, if you wake up and visit a financial advisor or a tax accountant and they say, why'd you do that? And you realize you made a mistake, they'll give you up to a year from when you start collecting in order to rescind that decision.
But you
have to pay back everything you've given. And of course, there's no Medicare at that point.
Right.
But you have to return everything and any withholding too, by the way.
Well, bottom line is that there's no free lunch here. You'd have to do it. So it's best not to make the wrong decision if you have the right information.
Right.
The other side of the coin is, isn't the rule now, if you start taking it at age 62 or anytime before 66 today, you're only allowed to make an additional $15,500 a year?
That's correct, Joe. You're limited. You're limited to your earnings.
Right.
So if you're thinking of going early, but you have a job that you earn more than $15,000, rethink it, because for every dollar you earn over that threshold, a dollar of Social Security benefit goes back for every two that you earn. So, for example, if you earn $17,000, well, then $1,000 of your benefit has to get paid back to Social Security.
Yeah, and if you made $30,000, you might wipe out your entire benefit.
You might, exactly.
You have to be very careful. Now, I know when Barb was making $40,000+ and she was 62, she thought about it. Basically, she would have lost every dime she got.
Yeah. At that level, it doesn't pay.
No.
You'd be kicking back everything that you earned. All your benefit.
You have to know ahead of time. And in defense of the government, they may not divulge 100% of this information to you unless you ask. Their job is to answer your questions. Their job is not necessarily to advise you. That's why we have CPAs, financial advisors, mortgage people that are here that are specialists in their field that can help people.
Yeah, because they won't. I mean, they if you ask them a question, they'll give you an answer.
Yep.
But they're not in there to give you advice.
Well, it would be impossible, too, to educate a consumer on every different aspect of Social Security.
But they might if they had your particular case, and they do. Mm-hmm. They could analyze it as we do as experts outside, but they won't. And that's not their job.
Well, just exactly what he's saying. If I knew ahead of time that Mike was 64 and his wife was 60 and he wants to know what his benefits are going to be for the next 2 or 3 or 4 years, we could plug all that into the computer and work it out for you and then sit down with you as a financial advisor or a CPA and say, hey, here's what your options are. Here's the good news and the bad news. Mm-hmm. Before you make a decision, we can... And they're not going to do that at the Social Security.
Yeah, well, they also don't know your goals and your expenses and your requirements in life.
All the above. And it's not their job.
That's right. So that's why you can't look to them for advice. They won't give you it.
Well, you know, question comes up. You mentioned that change in the Social Security and the age of 62. Does that mean that both people have to be over the age of 62 for it not to affect them, or just the
The person who would normally look to suspend, to claim and suspend.
So if you're 62 now, you'll still be able to do that. Okay.
But point, I guess, is next year, if you suspend and the spouse tries to get a spousal benefit, you're not going to have it.
Well, it depends on the age. I mean, if it's the people who are grandfathered, of course, it won't matter.
Yeah.
If you're going to be 66, it won't matter.
But if you're 62 now and you wait till your full retirement age and you're 66, your wife is 65
or 62,
she'll still be able to get
yes,
it.
But okay. She would probably get, she'd get a reduced benefit also because she's not of normal retirement age.
Right.
Yes.
But
she
it would could be get like it is now for most
half people. Half of her, of the claimant, yeah. The older one.
The spouse.
The spouse.
Spousal benefit.
Or her own or his own, depending, and whichever is greater.
1-888-221-8990. Pastor Tom?
Yeah, you got about 4 minutes left.
I was just going to say, he was starting to fall asleep there with those cards in his hand. You know, we don't want you just, you know, falling asleep on
them. Don't do that.
You like those cards?
He likes to play with cards. He likes to play cards.
You know, Fernando didn't need them.
Flash cards.
He was.
That's right.
Fernando was
ill. I don't think he can read them.
Wait till I see him next time.
No, he's probably listening.
He's probably listening. Poor Fernando.
He's a good guy. He's a good guy.
He's a great guy.
And he knows his Bible.
Yes, he does.
Good. I wish I was here for that.
You would have been.
I would have liked that.
We would have had no show at all. Just the two of you would have been discussing the Bible.
I would have liked that conversation.
Yeah, he's on top of it. He says, just don't call me Fernanda. It was Fernando. 1-888.
Francesco.
Oh, it's for Floyd.
Oh, my God.
No, hey, I did a bad thing.
You insulted him.
Okay, but either way. I was close.
Cisco kid.
I got my name in this.
Yeah, I know where you got Fernando. You're like Abba.
There's
you know
a song.
The song.
Yeah. Song. Yeah, exactly.
You watched Mamma Mia.
One, and I did. 1-888-221-8990 is almost not enough time to call us, but you call the radio station. 1-888-221-8990. Call from any place. That's a toll-free number. 888-221-8990. Pastor Tom or Connie will take your name and number and have us call you back, and we'll help you any way we can.
I had a lot of calls this past week.
Yeah, we did.
Different people.
We had quite a bit. 1-888. Write that number down. You never know when that's going to come in handy. You got a bunch of people here that are willing to help you any way we can, and nobody's going to charge you a dime to talk to you on the phone and to meet with you to try to get you in the right way to go. Any way we can help you, we will. If you hire us, that's a different story because I have mortgage payments.
And car payments and all kinds of things.
1-888-221-8990. Pastor Tom, we have words of wisdom?
Look both ways before you cross the street.
That's pretty good.
That is good.
That's pretty good advice, you know.
Don't count your eggs before they hatch.
What about
look before you leap?
What came first, the chicken or the egg? New subject. New subject. Checks in the mail, right? We understand that one, too. And this time I signed it. Mike, how about you?
You know, underwriting guidelines have really loosened up. If you didn't qualify for a mortgage or if you didn't think you qualified for a mortgage, now's the time to really call and see what your options are.
And you can still buy a house with a reverse mortgage, right?
You can buy a house with a reverse mortgage and not have any payments. So that's a wonderful thing.
I got a client right now that I was talking to him about that. And I've got to get him to actually talk to you and sit down with you because he's got these couple, three different ways to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one that's a beautiful option.
It's a wonderful program.
I guess it's time. Is that what you're saying, Tom?
It's time.
Thank you.
Okay,
everybody,
God
until
bless
next
you.
Week. Thank you. All right, dog.
You've been listening to the Team Martech program. The Team Martech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-229-0114.
just in the everyday, me and you, the Good News and Shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City. Good